stay seated if you want to. And Psalms 105, because I want to talk a little as I go along here. In the 17th verse, he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. Joseph was sold by his brethren for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters, and he was laid in irons until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him, and it's going to try us too. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free, and made him lord of his house, and ruler over all his substance. To bind, listen to this, he even had the power to bind the princes at his pleasure, and teach his senators wisdom. Joseph, a type of Christ. And tonight, I want to talk to you just a few minutes on this subject. It just came to me suddenly the other day. I counsel so many people that's going through dark valleys. They call, they walk in, they say, I'm ready to end it, I can't handle it, can't take no more. And then a lot of them, when they get through, they've accused God of about everything. Not loving them, not caring for them, and asking all kind of crazy questions. Why did the Lord let this happen to me? And so all of a sudden, I realized to be a success in this life, there's a few things you've got to learn. And my text tonight is grow. Everybody say grow. Good thing in it. Grow. But the rest of it here takes a lot more than just a beautiful sunshiny day when everything is going right. So my text is grow while you hurt. Grow while you hurt. This is a hurting world. And every one of us, sometime or another in life, is going to go through those times when we hurt. And there's four or five things that we might just briefly mention, you know, that will cause us to hurt. Failure, finances, physical problems of sickness, and mental disturbances, and spiritual things. These things can cause us a lot of hurt. Failures. Some people let their failures make a failure out of them. Don't let your failures cause you to fail. And don't let finances get you down. Learn to grow while financial problems are hurting you. I'll never forget, as a young fella, 12 years old, 1929, on Black Friday, October, they called it Black Friday. Up until that time, after World War I, everything is pretty prosperous. We had pretty plenty. Wasn't too big a problem to get a job. But on that Black Friday, 1929, the bottom fell out, and the banks closed, many of them did. And starvation set in. People begin to commit suicide, losing their homes, everything. And not too long after that, I worked with once rich men, businessmen. We were digging ditches together for the NRA, WPA, and all that. But I was blessed to have a dad like I had. In 1932, when Franklin D. Roosevelt began to form the food line, you go up to town and they had bags of oranges and grapefruit and cheese and all this, and they was giving it away. And my dad and I went. And we stood there at the way back on the line. Dad looked at it. And he turned around. I'll never forget it. I was just a boy. He said, "Son, we're going home." He said, "This is not the way." He said, "The Lord said, if you don't work, you don't eat. And this giveaway will destroy our nation." And we went home. And Dad found he got contracts of shipping, staves, ties, heading, and all this to Hope, Arkansas, to New Orleans. How many hundred boxcar loads have I helped load shipping it away? But we lived, and he worked men. While other folks were looking for a job, my dad that made up his mind, well, there's a will, there's a way. And while we hurt, we grew. Praise the Lord. And another thing that came out of the Great Depression was revival. While we were hurting, while the nation was hurting, the church began to pray. We'd gather together in Brush Arbor's store building, and this is going on all over the nation, and begin to pray for God to send prosperity and help us. And little by little, he did that. Until finally we got so prosperous in the 60s, until the nation began to drift away from God. I hope we can have revival without having a 1929. But I watched the old saints come and go. Watched them hurt, but I watched them grow. They didn't have a lot at home. They didn't have a lot to wear. They didn't have a lot of changing of clothes. They didn't have too much food at home. But I'll tell you what they did have. They had God. They prayed. They fasted. They shouted the victory. Praise the Lord. They went to church. They walked for miles. We rode wagons for miles to church. So the nation began to come back up because of the church and because revival broke out. And then in the 40s, great revivals began to break out. Began to have great auditoriums filled with people. You'd hear about it and see it in the newspapers. So the blessings of God was poured out again. But I want you to notice my character tonight. Joseph was a gifted man, young fellow. The Lord had given him the gift to dream prophetic dreams. And of course, with gifts, there always comes persecutions. And if you don't intend to grow while you hurt, don't ask for gifts, because you're going to have some hurt, because not everybody likes it. The devil certainly don't like it. And whenever Joseph began to tell his dreams to his brethren, they hated him the more. And finally, they took him and as a slave, and they was going to kill him. But Reuben talked them out of it, and they sold him as a slave. Now, he was hurting naturally. He was the youngest boy. And he was going into a far land. Gifts and all. The blessings and all the great things. Joseph, there's going to be other temptations down the road. If you get bitter, you'll not survive down there in Egypt. Joseph didn't get bitter. He refused to let hate take over. And because he refused to let hate take over, he was prepared for what happened in Potiphar's house. Because he didn't let sin take over, God still talked to him in the jailhouse. He could have well said what a woman did the other day. I've lived for God. Why all this? Why did God let this happen to me? Joseph could have well asked that question because he was in jail for something he didn't do. He was innocent. But I want you to notice, you've got to go. Even when you accuse falsely, you've got to keep going. And he did. He kept praying. He kept climbing. And his gift was working. And the gifts that God gave him got him out of jail. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then placed him by Pharaoh. I read it to you. He had the highest office. He was next to Pharaoh. He had authority, power over all Egypt. This burns a lot of people. There's a lot of people who grow while they hurt. But some people don't grow when they're prosperous. Now here he is, a big wheel riding Pharaoh's chariot with all the gold chains and everything else and all the power. But he stayed humble. Amen. He grew in prosperity. When he had authority, he grew. And then here comes all of his brothers starving to death. He could have sent a home empty. Said, no, you fellas, remember what you did to me? Now take your little empty bags and go back home. But no, not him. Joseph forgave him. And he said, the Lord sent me ahead. He knew this great famine was coming, so he sent me down here. He's trying to make them feel as good as possible. But I see a man here that grew to be a great prophet because he didn't stop growing when he hurt, physically, mentally, every way, he just kept on going. Amen. Praise God. Now, when I looked at this person the other day that said, why did God let all this happen to me? I said, if you would listen real close, he might be asking you why you let it happen. She said, what? I said, he gave you his spirit. He gave you his power. He gave you his name. He gave you his blood. He gave all this. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power. Amen. So, if you listen when you start asking that question, he may ask you why you let it happen. Amen? Why did it happen? Well, I sort of, I got a little worldly. Lay down on my prayer life. Wouldn't go in the church as regular as I used to. And, didn't pay my tithes. And I don't know what all. I just sort of let down here and let down there. And so the Lord would say, that's why you let it happen. You told fence down. Now, there's one thing I want to tell you. Don't ever forget it. There's some things God just won't do. If you want a nice garden, he won't fence it for you. And he won't break up the ground. And he won't plant the seeds. And I'll tell you something else he won't do. He won't come down and chop the weeds out for you. Amen? Now, if the gardener said, now, God, why did you let the cow get in? He'd say, why did you fix the fence? You knew it was down back there. He said, I'm not supposed to guard the cow. He said, you're supposed to keep your fence fixed. So if you let your fence down somewhere and the devil gets in, God's going to say, why didn't you fix your fence? I think it's good to fix fences. We used to have to do that in the wintertime on the farm. I know I hated it. Have to fix the fence. Chop the bushes out of the fence row. and on and on and on. To get ready for springtime, you know. One fellow, and you've heard the story, he was telling a fellow what a beautiful garden he had. He said, "Man," he said, "I have never seen God give a man such a great garden." He said, "You've got the prettiest garden. God give it to you." And the fellow finally stopped and looked at him and he said, "You ought to have seen it last year when God had it all by himself." He just don't do some things. He won't fix the fence. He won't pull the weeds out. That's your job. And a lot of us have never learned that. That there's some things he said, you do. In my name, he said, you'll cast out devils. You do it. If the devil's knocking on your door, it's your job. He said, "I gave him a name, and the name will take care of it if you prayed like you ought to." Amen. Praise the Lord. So, Lord, why did you let this happen to me? He didn't. You did. Now, some things, there's some things God will do. He'll furnish the ground. He'll furnish the rain. And he'll cause it to become springtime, so the seed will come up. And he does his part. And you better do yours. Amen. If you want a real good garden. And always I found out, you get what you plant. Amen. If you plant tomatoes, you'll get tomatoes. If you plant corn, you'll get corn. If you plant thorns, you'll have a thorn patch. And the Lord won't bother you. He'll just let you have anything in there you want. He don't make that choice for you. Plant it. Whatever you want, plant it. Plant it. Let it lay out. Concrete it. It's up to you. Amen. Now, how can I grow while I'm hurting? The greatest example we've got, and Brother Trammell, he preached my sermon just about it. He got the physical character that I was going to use. This one did a splendid job. The lady was born deaf and dumb and blind. And she moved over all of her obstacles and talked to presidents and to kings. And give a lot of beautiful messages to the world about the Lord that she knew about by much prayer herself. How can I go? I like that song, "Oh, Let Me Walk With You, Jesus. Don't ever leave me alone." Jesus is our greatest example. The Bible said, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things he suffered. He suffered. He prayed in agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. There were some prayers he didn't get answered. He finally said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." And then dying on the cross, he finally cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The spirit had to withdraw for the physical body to die. And this was bothering the Lord because he didn't want that presence to leave. And all the great things that you and I are enjoying tonight was because somebody came and grew. The Bible said he grew in wisdom and knowledge. And much of it were the things that he suffered. He learned obedience. We learn if we'll just lift up our eyes. When you begin to hurt, you can either become negative and bitter and say, "Why did God let this happen to me?" Or you can say, "There's a reason in all of this. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm going to get there by and by if I keep looking up." Praise the Lord. Second Peter, we need to get this vision clearly and beautifully imprinted into our innermost being that God is a good God. He is a good God. He don't go around doing all these things that some people says He does. He's a good God. And He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should have life eternal. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. He forgives and He forgets. That's the beautiful thing about it. He forgives and He forgets. We can forgive, but many times never really forget. Now the next thing you can do is to put on the whole armor of God if you want to go while you hurt. And then you can fight like a real soldier. Because sin always hurts, and the only way you can stop feeling guilty, full of fear and doubt, depression, restlessness, and no peace is to get rid of sin. Get rid of sin. That's the hurt you've got to get rid of there, the hurt of sin. But there'll be other hurts that'll be for your uplifting in life. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We have too many grasshopper saints. They sing all the summer and don't prepare for the winter, and they die. The first big freeze or frost, they're gone. Because they never learn to grow while they hurt. Amen. As the musician gets ready to play tonight, I felt to present this to you tonight. There's folks hurting here tonight. And some of you have been brought to a standstill. And that's dangerous. Some of you have backed up a little bit. And that's dangerous. Why don't you realize that God may be working something out in your life? Use this hurt as a stepping stone. Just get a little closer to Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. I talk to a lot of young preachers. So many of them think the ministry is a flower beds of ease. And he tried picking the sleepers. Now, he can do that. But you're not going very far. And a fellow will be going through something. He'll say, why did this happen? I said, what have you been praying about? What did you ask the Lord to give you? What have you been asking the Lord to do for you? Well, when he names it, I know why. The Lord's letting him hurt just a little bit to move him up just a little closer. Amen. He's the healer tonight. The only place we'll never be hurt by people or things or diseases or finances is on the other side. We're going to have something. I see some people that the Lord would like to prepare for the ministry, and He puts them through the financial test, and they fail. They fail the test. And others He would like to use another gift of the Spirit, but they fail the test when it comes to much prayer and fasting. They want it handed to them on a silver platter. And so, when they begin to hurt, they go back and they stop growing.